Good morning, good evening, good afternoon to everybody. This is Lizzie and Justin, and we are here again turning towards life. This week we have a wonderful source by a combination of Martin Buber and Mark Nepo, provided by Justin. And I was saying to Justin just before we joined that I was missing Mark Nepo, and Justin, you then chose Mark Nepo. So I'm really grateful to have Mark with us again. I know we've had sources from him before. And just so super grateful in this moment that there are humans writing excellent things that change our worlds. It doesn't fail to be miraculous to me. I'm really very grateful for that. And if you want to find any of our sources, you can go to turningtowards.life and you can find a special thing there where you can get our conversations weekly into your inbox if that's how you want to receive them. And you will also find them in the show notes. And if you join our Facebook group, we always post them there ahead of time as well. So you're very welcome, however you're listening, whenever you're listening to this. We are in January 2025 somehow, nearly the end of January even. And we're here for another week of this. And it just feels like a pendulum or something, Justin, every weakness of it. And recently we've had some emails from people who've been with us really from the very beginning. And that is completely miraculous to me. And every email we receive, by the way, everyone, is completely wonderful to us. So you can email us at hello@turningtowards.life or Justin or Lizzie at turningtowards.life. We so love to hear from you. We always reply. We always love the conversation that unfolds inside of it. So if you ever want to be in touch, please feel free to do that. We love it. And also, if you wanted to leave us a review, we got a review recently, didn't we, Justin, on Spotify, which is really helpful to other people finding us. So please, if you have some minutes and you want to do that, you can. You can also support us by clicking the Buy Me a Coffee button on turningtowards.life as well, if you wanted to. We've had some lovely support recently, and it's very, very wonderful to receive that. So thank you, everybody who's supporting us in that particular way. And also just your being here and your listening is a huge motivation and support for us to keep on doing it. So thank you, everybody. And Justin, thank you for choosing this incredible, excellent source.
You're very welcome. Hello, everybody. It's very good to be here again. Yes, this source, which, as you say, Lizzie, you can find in the show notes and at turningtowards.life and all those places, is comes from a really excellent book that you know, Lizzie, and I know well, called The Book of Awakening by Mark Nepo. I was looking back, Lizzie, and in 382 of these conversations, we've featured Mark's work maybe about 10 times. Mm. He's one of our more often writers then in some ways. And The Book of Awakening is a wonderful book, which I really highly recommend, not only because it's filled with real kindness and wisdom and truth-telling. It's also organized so that there's something written for every day of the year. And just like people say with this, Lizzie, you know how often it is that people say the conversation that we had was just right for somebody at a particular week, that sort of magical confluence of events, which sometimes brings things together. My experience of Mark's book is that very often when I feel distant from something or feel like I need to reach for something that will help me, particularly either in difficulty or because what I'm longing for or hoping for is some kind of reconnection with that in me or in others that's most alive and most necessary, Mark's work so often does that. And so this source is slightly abridged version of his piece from this book for January the 25th, and today it's January the 26th, 2025, so it's right in this time. So it begins with a short quote from the philosopher and writer Martin Buber, and then everything after that is Mark's, and I'm going to read it. And Martin Buber writes, "I begin to realize that in inquiring about my own origin and goal, I'm inquiring about something other than myself. And in this very realization, I begin to recognize the origin and goal of the world." And then Mark writes in response, "In loving ourselves, we love the world. For just as fire rock and water are all made up of molecules. Everything, including you and me, is connected by a small piece of the beginning. Yet, how do we love ourselves? It is as difficult at times as seeing the back of your head, like feeding a clear bird that no one else can see. You must be still and offer your palmful of secrets like delicate seed. And as she eats your secrets, no longer secret, she glows and you lighten, and her voice, which only you can hear, is your voice, bereft of plans. And the light through her body will bathe you till you wonder why the gems in your palm were ever fisted. Once in a great while, if someone loves you enough, they might see her rise from the nest beneath your fear. In this way, I've learned that loving yourself requires a courage unlike any other. It requires us to believe in and stay loyal to something no one else can see that keeps us in the world, our own self-worth. All the great moments of conception, the birth of mountains, of trees, of fish, of profits, and the truth of relationships that last, all begin where no one can see. And it is our job not to extinguish what is so beautifully begun. For once full of light, everything is safely on its way, not pain-free but unencumbered, and the air beneath your wings is the same air that trills in my throat, and the empty benches in the snow are as much a part of us as the empty figures who slouch on them in spring. When we believe in what no one else can see, we find we are each other. And all moments of living, no matter how difficult, come back into some central point where self and world are one, where light pours in and out at once.
Thank you, Justin. If you're watching us, you'll see I just have my eyes closed and letting these words shower me. And if you're able to, as I read this, see if there's a way you can get really comfortable and relaxed and let these words not around in your head, but let them maybe land somewhere in your heart or your body. So don't try and understand anything, but just to try and let them in somehow. So here we go. Martin Buber says, I begin to realise that inquiring about my own origin and goal, I'm inquiring about something other than myself. In this very realisation, I begin to recognise the origin and goal of the world. Mark Nepo says in response, in loving ourselves, we love the world. For just as fire, rock and water are all made up of molecules, everything, including you and me, is connected by a small piece of the beginning. Yet, how do we love ourselves? It is as difficult at times as seeing the back of your head, like feeding a clear bird that no one else can see. You must be still and offer your palm full of secrets, like delicate seed. As she eats your secrets, no longer secret, she glows and you lighten. And her voice, which only you can hear, is your voice, bereft of plans. And the light through her body will bathe you till you wonder why the gems in your palm were ever fisted. Once in a great while, if someone loves you enough, they might see her rise from the nest beneath your fear. In this way, I've learned that loving yourself requires a courage unlike any other. It requires us to believe in and stay loyal to something no one else can see, that keeps us in the world, our own self-worth. All the great moments of conception, the birth of mountains, of trees, of fish, of prophets, and the truth of relationships that last, all begin where no one can see, and it is our job not to extinguish what is so beautifully begun. For once full of light, everything is safely on its way. Not pain-free, but unencumbered. And the air beneath your wings is the same air that trills in my throat, and the empty benches in snow are as much a part of us as the empty figures who slouch on them in spring. When we believe in what no one else can see, we find we are each other. and all moments of living, no matter how difficult, come back into some central point where self and world are one, where light pours in and out at once.
It's quite something, Lizzie, isn't it? This amazing piece. And I, one of the things I was thinking whilst you were reading and I was reading was a deep bow of gratitude to Mark, who has written 366 of these, each of which has the same kind of depth and extraordinariness about it. And I think the thing that I want to pick up on in this is not so much the piece about self-worth, which he writes about, but actually in the original, I can't even say it, the originalness that we each are, that is behind the way that we present to the world, that we can find in ourselves and in one another, and in what it is to find it in one another. Like there's a sort of orientation in our world right now that's so incredibly individualistic that we think that it's our job. If only I could see this in myself, which is really important, and I'm sure there'll be more to say about this. If only I could love myself, then everything would be okay, and that is important. I was so struck by these two places of beginning where Martin Buber says if we look deep in ourselves and what we're up to, we find that what we're actually asking is about something that came before us, or that is not just us, something that's beyond us. And so our self-inquiry and our self-love and our self-attention actually isn't only towards ourselves. It what Buber reminds us of, or maybe shows us of for the first time perhaps, is that we're an expression of something more original. We didn't come into this world separate. We're made of the world. And then Mark says everything is connected by a small piece of the beginning. And I think that this is one of the great causes of suffering in the world, is that we forget that we are at heart a piece of the beginning. We are in our depths all a piece of the beginning of everything. So when we forget that about ourselves, we feel separate and distant and desperate and ungrounded and untethered, and we claw around trying to find some purchase in what is a very often difficult, confusing and frightening world. And when we forget that in one another, we treat one another as objects, as obstacles, as annoyances, as sort of that kind of annoying mystery where I can't understand you, and now I've got to understand you or something. And there's something prior to all of that, which Mark says he calls a small piece of the beginning, and then later on he calls it, I have to find it because it's the beginning which no one can see. We're an expression of that, and it's our job not to extinguish it. And everything, and once full of light, everything is safely on its way, unencumbered. The unencumbered something in us that's prior to all of our entanglements in the world is the same in all of us, and it's the same in everything. It's the same something. The empty benches in the snow are the same, and the air beneath your wings is the same as the air in my throat. And it seems to me that what Mark's writing can do, if we'll allow it, then this piece is allow us an act of remembering of something that we've forgotten, that I think that when we slow down enough and drop in enough and feel deeply enough, we know quite intuitively that you, Lizzie, and I, and the chair you're sitting on, the wall behind you, and the books behind me, and the world outside us is all the same something, full of variety and difference, but all an expression of the same something. And there's an openness and an aliveness and maybe even the deep, deep kind of possibility of a kind of welcome to one another and to ourselves that can begin when we find out that we're not alien to the world. And we're not alien to one another, even though we're greatly mysterious to ourselves and one another.
Oh my gosh, I'm really moved by this relationship between the beginningness, the originalness of us, which everything begins from. We're all connected by the small piece of beginning. And then the welcome that you're talking about that exists between us. And somehow I'm making this connection between, as we sit together and realize that we can have what is secret be no longer secret. And in that we glow and we lighten and we're not separate from each other. As in, my originalness isn't separate from the world's originalness, and my originalness is not separate from your originalness. Somehow, whatever secrets, as Mark Nepo is saying, that, you know, whatever stories, whatever happenings, whatever difficulties, whatever traumas, whatever anythings, as we bring them to one another, we get to see that we're not separate and that those things are welcome. And as you say, we're not alien to one another. And somehow in this conversation, I'm making the connection between the piece of the beginning that is us, is what makes that possible, to sit with one another and a tree and be in an exchange where we can dissolve things into that originalness. We can see each other for our originalness and our beauty, and not feel like there's something wrong with us. Maybe only for an instant, but maybe we can practice that more and it becomes a reality for us. But that this bit is so moving, where Mark talks about feeding the bird that no one else can see. And as she eats your secrets, no longer secret, she glows and you lighten. Like, that's what's possible between us. That you could tell me your secrets, I could hold them in my hand. And instead of it squashing me or something, which I think some of us worry about, if we talk to one another, I'll be completely squashed by all of your problems or something. But if we're holding this sense of our beginningness and our originalness and the essence of who we are, really as light, I can glow and you can lighten in the unburdening of things between us. And I think it's the originalness that we're allowing in or believing in or holding inside a relationship, where we can see that about each other. We can see the goodness, we can see the originalness. And that you glow and I lighten. Like, it's an excellent something happening in the unburdening. And I'm really grateful to feel into that being not separate from, connected to, made of this beginningness that we should not extinguish, as Mark says. It's our job to not extinguish that, but to let whatever that is shine through now, the beginning shine through all the way to the end.
I'm wondering, one of the images that's coming to me, Lizzie, as you're talking, is what if we were to each take up a practice of seeing and receiving the originalness in one another when we're together? So I think it's probably easiest to start with the people that we feel most safe with for this. But the people that we most love, the people we feel most safe with, even in those relationships, very often we make the mistake of seeing somebody as their difficulty, or seeing them as a difficulty we have with them, or seeing them as, if someone's very familiar and they have, like we all do, familiar sort of patterns of preference and habit, and seeing them as their habits or seeing them as the way that they conduct themselves. And I think that what Martin Buber and Mark Nepo are both saying to us is we're looking in the wrong place. that's important, obviously, because it's how we, it's the practical experiencing of another world. But if I think that that's what you are, if I take you to be that, then I'm reducing you to something really other than what you really are. And so I was imagining and actually practicing as you were speaking, seeing the what Mark calls the clear bird in you. He also calls the originalness. He also calls it light. Martin Buber calls it the origin and goal of the world. Practicing letting myself see that of you and feeling that radiate out of you as you're talking to me. And if I can include that at the same time as all the things that we're talking about, then what I'm doing is honoring the something that Mark, I agree with him, says it's our job not to extinguish. Like my job with you as your friend, as your colleague, as your co, whatever we want to call ourselves in this conversation, like being in this conversation, my job is not to play any part in extinguishing in you what's so beautifully begun. So then it has to be my job to pay attention to that. And I for sure don't always do that. I mean, I do sometimes. I'm more and more oriented this way. But it was felt very, very different to orient that way as you were talking. And what I also noticed is that as I paid attention to that in you, I can feel it in me. Because it's not different in me. There's that something. Like if we were to see one another as light streaming forth from an original point in us that began long before we began, not only does it seem to me way more dignifying, and I can include in that disagreements and, you know, places we might irritate one another and requests we have to make and all the truthful conversations about all, can include all of that. That's got a holding. But more than that, what I'm doing is dignifying and recognizing that for you to be here is an expression. It's not just extraordinary that you're here, Lizzie. It's also an expression of something prior to you that is extraordinary and that is so easy to forget. And as I do that, I also notice that I'm settling. I feel so much more courageous and open and available and connected to you, but also to life as I'm doing that too. And last thing to say is what Mark and Martin are showing us is that that is always within reach. It's never far away. We may forget it, but it's right here.
So as you're talking, Justin, my eyes are just drawn to this sentence. Once in a great while, if someone loves you enough, they might see her rise from the nest beneath your fear. And I'm feeling all the times that that has happened to me, that someone has sat and seen beneath the nest of my fear. And somehow this bird has risen up of my originalness as available to the person with me. And that their seeing of me is my seeing of me. Like it's like a one big, huge, big borrowing is happening between us all. And it's just a question of what we're offering for people to borrow. You know, would you like to borrow my seeing of your light today? Because that's what I'm offering. Or I'm offering seeing all of your problems, which you also get to borrow. Like we have a responsibility, it seems, in this to me. Because what we offer, people will borrow. And are we lending light? Are we lending, I think lending or borrowing is maybe the wrong word. Are we giving permanently, like you don't have to give it back or something? It's not a, like a library book or something that you take out and then have to give back. But if I am an offering of seeing and you get to see yourself because I saw you, and then I get to see myself in the process, and then maybe we just start, that's the backwards and forwards between us in large part. As you said, if we practice that, my goodness, it's a very different system we're going to be living in, whether it's in a marriage or in a parent-child relationship or with colleagues or on the bus or as we write a song and play it to people in the audience, whatever we're doing in the world. this capacity that we have that, as you say, is not far away, to see this bird rise in each of us underneath whatever the nest of fear is. I feel like that's a very hopeful path of longevity and meaning and stability or something. You know, if I can practice that, I feel solid in my life, that I am part of something that's making the world that the world would long to become if it were a full self. So I'm feeling really invited and wide-eyed and wide-hearted and so grateful, Justin, that I know what this is. You know, this line, you'll wonder why the gems in your palm were ever fisted. Like, I've had that feeling of, why did I hide this for so long? It was okay when I opened my palm. Why did I hide it for so long? And the gratitude in me for there being people around my life that have done that and still continue to do that in the times of the nest of fear being very, very well equipped with sticks and stuff is completely glorious. And it often happens to me that I know that that's happening when someone says something completely outside of my narrative of myself. You know, they see something in me and I'm like, what? That's not here. And they say, well, yes, it is, because look here and here and here. And I go, oh, okay, so what the story I've been telling myself is not actually big enough for what's here, because you can see something different. You can see this clear bird and I'm caught in the weeds and scrabbling around in my own nest. And look what you're seeing in the telling of my story. It's a very different thing than I'm seeing. So I'm feeling very, like, heart-achingly grateful that that is true between humans right now. Or it can be.
Isn't it the case then, Lizzie, that the great insight here is that we're not our stories.
Mm.
Like, we carry our stories with us. We carry our personalities with us, and we carry our troubles with us and our anxieties and our fears and all of that. And at heart, we're not any of them.
Mm.
So when I can sit with you and see that this way of being with one another that, you know, Lizzie, that you're pointing to and that I know too, which is where we're committed to something more truthful than the partial stories that we all have, that may have all kinds of truth and utility in them, but you're not your fear. And when you're afraid or anxious or confused, and I can commit to hearing all of that, not turning away from it and not minimizing it and not explaining it away and honoring the dignity of it, but at the same time, it's like a dual move to make, to really honor your story, honor your experience, and know that behind all of that, underneath all the fear, is the clear bird that is the same as the origin of everything. That's when we experience that from other people, when other people don't get caught up in our dramas, but are not dishonoring. I'm really trying to be really careful with my language here, because when you tell me about your pain, the worst thing there for me to do is to dismiss it away. But it seems to me it's equally a mistake to imagine that that's all there is of you, is your pain. I'm particularly thinking about fear right now. A lot of people feel very afraid all the time, and there are good reasons for us to feel fear about things. And when someone will sit with us who will see that there is something way beyond that of us, and be the one who doesn't hold it in a tight fist with us, we also have the chance also maybe sometimes to unfurl the fistedness. And I actually think that the more afraid we feel, the more anxious, the more unrooted we feel in the world collectively, the more we need this. It's not just a question of mutual dignity and love and care or anything like that. It's actually to do with, from where do we find the capacity to respond to the complexity of the world? Well, it's here, actually. It's in the originalness that began before we began. It's in the clear bird that is can fly in us. It's recognizing that the air beneath your wings is the same air that drills in my throat.
Mm.
It's all the same thing. It's what we most need if we're going to have a chance to respond to the complexity of our families, the complexity of our workplaces, the complexity of politics, the complexity of environment and of war, and of, if we're going to have a chance to respond to those, this is where we need to look in one another.
It is. Thank you, Justin. This is so excellent. Thank you, Mark. My goodness, Mark, if you ever listen to this, oh, thank the Lord for your bringing of this extraordinary, poetic, inviting, and very validating of human experience writing. My goodness, it's so wonderful. And I also want to say thank you, Justin, to people like you and Mark, who actually understand what people like Martin Buber are on about, so that we can receive it. I've said 100 times, Justin, about being in conversation for me is the way that I can learn things, really. And being stuck on my own with a book and trying to figure out what Martin Buber means by saying that first thing. I mean, I don't have much hope, actually, of doing that without you, without Mark, without people who are open-hearted and in relationship with me, but who have capacity for that philosophical stuff. So I'm feeling so grateful to be included, actually, because I think all of that philosophical shenanigans can be quite excluding for me and many others maybe. And so to be included in it and to feel a poetic meeting of that right now, which I can absolutely be inside of, I'm feeling very, very grateful. And thinking of Mark doing that many of these potent, beautiful things in the Book of Awakening. I mean, what a book. What a book. So beautiful. And Justin, thank you for like your attunement to all of this, to picking the things that are the thing. I mean, this is a stonker of a source, and I am feeling it really strongly that this source is, I mean, I feel it often, but this source is everything. You know, if this could be an expression of the centrality of what's most meaningful to you and I in the world, I think this one really nails it. And oh, my heart is full with that and the potency and the power of speaking about it like this. Feels like a very, very, what would I say? Like close to our definition of what it's all about kind of source. And what we're both dedicated to in the world. I'm really grateful to have a chance to be saying that together today.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, Lizzie. And I also with you that I don't think we can really do any of this on our own. We have to talk to one another. So I'm glad that you and I are talking. And I hope, I'm thinking now as we end about the group that we know about who meet, I can't remember where they are in the world, and hello to all of you, because you're probably listening, who take these conversations and the sources and go off and have a conversation themselves about it.
I think they're in Shanghai, Justin.
Okay.
I think it's Shanghai.
Hello to the group of you in Shanghai. I think, and I know that you and I have talked for a long time about plans to bring, which I'm feeling very excited about, again, as you plans to bring a way to help people have these conversations in the world beyond even the podcast. But I think what I want to say to everyone, all of you as we end is, it is one thing to hear for you and I, Lizzie, to talk and then for people to carry us around with them, all of you in your minds and your hearts as you listen, as you're walking or doing the washing up or driving the car or whatever it is you're doing. Laying in a hospital bed or all the thing, places we know people listen to this. And what would it be to include somebody else in the conversation?
Mm.
What would it be to read the source with another and listen to this with another or with a group and then talk?
Mm.
And talk together, maybe in a way that's a little bit like the way we're talking, Lizzie, with lots of space and lots of unhurriedness. Because the world is full of podcasts and books which are sort of aimed at the individual. They're designed to go into your individual mind and apparently everything will happen from there. And I don't think that's how anything really happens.
Yeah.
I think it happens because it happens between us. So here's a parting invitation to, and please let us know what you make of this. As you said, Lizzie, the easy way to reach us, hello@turningtowards.life by email is the easiest way. Love to know what you make of that invitation. And Lizzie, thank you for being the most excellent partner in this endeavor and for being willing to be in the mystery of this conversation together so that we can find our way to these moments of grace and joy and insight that come from just the right source at just the right time. And we're going to end here.
Thank you, Justin.
Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone.